When I was a young boy, when I was coming up, my first job was working at a drive-in theater. The people across the street from us owned a drive-in theater. And when I was about 10 years old, actually, I had a job there at the drive-in theater. They would take me about 7 o'clock at night, and usually I'd get home 1 or 2 in the morning, work about 7 hours, and make $3.50. That was my first job. I remember, and that was a lot of money back then, but I remember watching a lot of the movies. So that's one thing I could do. I'd stand out, and I had things I did outside, and I could watch the movies. And I remember, the movies I tend to remember are the horror movies. There were ones that maybe you, some of you that are a little older, House on Haunted Hill, and The Pit and the Pendulum with Vincent Price and Peter Lorre, and The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I remember watching those, and some of them even, the horror films. I don't know if you remember this, but they had special glasses. You put on the glasses, and when you put on the glasses, you could see the ghosts. But if you didn't have the glasses on, you couldn't see the ghosts. And although I'd never admit it at that time, they scared the dickens out of me. I mean, that really, some of those really frightened me. And I would go home at night, and 1, 2 in the morning, and I would lay down to go to sleep. And I'd start talking to myself. That was not real. It's only a movie. It's all make-believe. And I usually would get to sleep. But as we look through the telescope of God's Word into the future, as we put on the spiritual glasses of the Holy Spirit and look at God's prophetical Word and what's going to happen in the future during a 7-year period called the tribulation, we see a horrifying picture. Dr. Mark Bailey says, it will be the worst hour in human history for the world. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to chapter 9 of the book of Revelation. And I want to remind you that in chapter 8, there are 3 sets of judgments that we read about in the book of Revelation. The seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, and then later on the bowl or the vial judgments. And last time in chapter 8, we saw the first 4 of the trumpet judgments. And then at the end of that chapter, there was an eagle flying in mid-heaven and cried out with a voice, "Woe, woe, woe." And basically what he was saying is, if you think that was bad, you haven't seen nothing yet. And in chapter 9, we start off with the fifth angel sounding a trumpet judgment. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 12. Would you stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God? And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. And he opened the bottomless pit, and the smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and the power was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were told that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. And they will long to die, and death flees from them. And the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings in their tails and their power to hurt men for 5 months. And they have a king over them and the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. The old two woes are still coming after these things. You may be seated. In these verses, it depicts again what will happen on planet Earth. And I think this is getting toward the second half of the tribulation. We see a picture that is much more horrifying than any horror film that you've ever seen or ever will see. Because, folks, this is real. This is not fake. It's not just a motion picture. It's real. It's real. And we see creatures in this portion of Scripture that make the creature from the Black Lagoon look like Mickey Mouse. We see the creatures from the bottomless pit. Now, I'd like to just share some things about this Scripture today, and this is heavy. But first of all, the chasm, which is called the bottomless pit. What are we talking of here? In the opening of the pit, in verse 1, it says that John saw a star falling from heaven. And this star is not a literal star, folks. This star is a person, a personal being. How do we know that? Because at the end of verse 1, it says the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. And then the second verse, it says, and he opened the bottomless pit. You see, in Revelation, stars sometimes represent persons or beings. You remember in Revelation chapter 1 that Christ had seven stars in his hand, and the seven stars were the angels of the seven churches. And we use the word star a lot of times to represent a person too, don't we? We talk about movie stars or baseball stars or rock stars. And here, the star represents a personal being. A personal being. Who is the star? The star is none other than Satan himself. Satan himself. We're told that later on. This is a picture of Satan. The word here, fall, it's interesting, is in the Greek tense. It's a perfect tense. I don't want to get too technical. But what it means is something that's already happened. It's happened in the past as a result in the present. He saw this star having fallen. He didn't see the star fall. He saw the star having fallen. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says this, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. And because of that sin, Satan was kicked out of heaven. And it says he was thrown down to earth. In Luke 10:18, Jesus said the same thing. He said, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. Like lightning. In Revelation 12, we read of another fall of Satan, where we'll get there. But he's kicked out of heaven a second time in Revelation chapter 12. But I want you to note this. It says, I saw a star having fallen from heaven unto the earth. There's a misconception, folks, that a lot of people have, and I don't think we have it here, but there's a misconception. Some people think Satan is in hell. You ever see the cartoons? This always bothers me when I look at the cartoons, and they show Satan with a pitchfork down in the flames and waiting for people to come down to hell. Satan's not in hell. Satan's alive and active right now on planet Earth. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, I've been feeling his blasts. And I think the closer we get to the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus, the more we're going to see the attacks of Satan himself on the church. But he's not in hell. He's on earth. And he opens the bottomless pit. Now, what is that? It says keys were given to him, and he opened the bottomless pit. What's it talking about here? Well, some think it's talking about Hades. You remember over in Luke 16, the rich man died, and it says he went down, literally it says, to Hades. There is a place right now where people that die that do not have Christ go. It's called Hades. You remember there's a big gulf between Hades and another place called Abraham's bosom. And some think that what this text is talking about is Hades. Others think, no, this is really talking about hell itself, the lake of fire. But, you know, folks, I don't think it's talking about either of those. I don't think it's talking about either the lake of fire or Hades. Hold your hand here. Would you turn to 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 talks about another place. And we'll also see it over, and we're going to look at Jude 6 in a minute, but 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, we read these words, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into," my translation says, "hell, and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment." But that word hell is not the regular word for hell in Scripture. That's not Gehenna. Jesus, when he talked about hell, he used the word Gehenna. This is the word Tartarsus. Tartarsus. I think it's another place altogether that God created for specials, for angels that sinned, special, some kind of sin, and he threw them down into Tartarsus. Now, look over in Jude, the book right before the book of Revelation. Jude, verse 6. Because again, here I think we have a reference to this bottomless pit, this Tartarsus. And again, it has to do with angels. It says in verse 6, "And angels who did not keep their own dominion, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for judgment of the great day." He has put them in bonds. He put them into the bottomless pit or Tartarsus. Different from Hades, that's where people that are unredeemed go when they die. Okay? And this is a special place. In fact, I believe Jesus, the fire and smoke it talks about here, it says about this place, it can be, it is referred to bottomless pit. The word in the Greek is abyssus. And it is translated in many translations, the abyss. It means a deep pit, a long shaft. And I can understand why some identify with the abyss, with hell, because it's hell-like. It's a hell-like place. When this pit is opened here in chapter 9, smoke arises as though the door of a giant furnace was opened. Hell-like soot belches forth and pollutes the whole earth. The pollution that pollutes the earth makes Los Angeles smog look like nothing. The bottomless pit's not a good place. It's a hell-like place. Now, this word abyss is used 9 times in the Bible. You remember when Jesus Christ cast out Legion? Remember he went to place of the Gadarenes? And the Gadarene demoniac came to Jesus, and he said he had a legion of demons. And the demons said to Jesus, they begged him, "Please don't cast us into the abyss, into the bottomless pit. It's not a good place." 7 times this word abyss is used in the book of Revelation. And we also find out that Antichrist comes out of the abyss. During the 1,000-year reign, Satan and his demons are going to be cast into this bottomless pit, into the abyss, and bound for 1,000 years, the millennium reign of Christ. The chasm called the bottomless, a special place. Now, secondly, let's look at the creatures from the bottomless pit. Their identity. When this pit is unlocked, locust-like creatures come out. But folks, they're not natural locusts. You know, back in Joel, the book of Joel, he talks about a locust plague, and they were literal locusts. When we talk about a locust plague in the plagues of Egypt, it was a literal locust plague. These are not literal locusts. How do we know that? Well, for three reasons. Number one, they don't eat vegetation. They don't touch the plants and vegetation on earth. Secondly, in Exodus 10:14, it talks about the Egyptian locust plague, and it said there will never be a locust plague like this on earth again. Never. You'll never see it again. And then thirdly, we're told in Proverbs 30:27 that locusts have no king or no leader, and these locusts have a leader. They have a leader. Well, who or what are these creatures? These creatures released are demon locusts. They're demon locusts. Listen to what Charles Ryrie says about these creatures. Charles Ryrie of Dallas Theological Seminary. He says, these creatures are described as being very real, so we must not consider them as merely symbolic representations of judgment. They are animal creatures like locusts, though not ordinary locusts, for they are demonic in nature. Indeed, it would be better to describe them as demons who take the form of these unique locusts. Though it may be difficult for anyone to imagine such creatures, that is no reason to understand them as merely symbols. The power of these demons is very great. These uncommon locusts are demonic. Whatever size and appearance of these creatures, one thing stands out in this description. They are ferocious in looks and actions. Now their description. Look down in verse 7 at their description. They are described in verse 7, the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. And on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like faces of men. They had hair like hair of a woman, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots and many horses rushing into battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings in their tails is the power to hurt men for 5 months. You know, it's interesting. Just think of this. Right now, these demons are incarcerated. They are incarcerated. They're bound now. They're down in the bottomless pit. You know, Satan does have his dominions, his demons. But all of the demons are not active. Imagine what it's like when these demons are released on earth. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'll tell you what, if these demons were released right now, we'd have 9/11 every day. We'd have school shootings every day. That's how ferocious these demons are. And their destruction, what they do. And again, imagine if all the prisons in the United States were opened and all the criminals were left out, all the felons were left out. Imagine all the Charlie Mansons left out, all the murderers, rapists, child molesters, crooks, what it'd be like. It's nothing like what it's going to be like here. These demon locusts do not hurt vegetation, as we said. They're given power to hurt men, but not all men, praise God. Not the men with the mark of God on their forehead. The 144,000 and people that come to know Christ during the tribulation, and there will be a multitude, they're not going to be able to hurt them. Only those that do not have the mark of God. Those who are not sealed on their forehead. They will inflict stings like a sting of a scorpion. And I've read that the sting of a scorpion, though it is almost in all cases not lethal, is one of the most painful stings of any creature. When a scorpion stings, the venom enters the system and literally sets the nerve centers on fire. And that's what this will happen when these demon locusts are released on planet Earth. They'll inflict pain and suffering during the tribulation. Now, pain will be so intense, look at verse 6, so intense that people will prefer death rather than life. It says, in those days, men will seek death, but they will not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Men will want to die, and they'll try to commit suicide, and they won't be able to. You imagine that? Unable. Suicide rate, if they could, suicide rate would skyrocket. They would prefer to die because of the agony of living, but death's impossible. Poisons and pills in that day will not work. They'll throw themselves into the water to drown, and they won't drown. They'll throw themselves off buildings and float down to the ground. Even bullets and knives will not do their intended job. You talk about horror. That's horror. And then the commander of the bottomless pit. The commander of the bottomless pit. We're told who he is. You see, they have a commander. They have a king over them. The angel of the bottomless pit, verse 11. They have a king over them. The angel of the abyss. And we're told his name in Hebrew and Greek. In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon. In Greek, his name is Apollyon. They both mean the same thing, the destroyer. And Satan is the one who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And you know what? Why did he put it in Hebrew and Greek? Because you know what? When it comes to destruction, Satan is not prejudiced. He's out to destroy the Jew and the Gentile. He's out to destroy your family. He's out to destroy your kids. He's out to destroy the church. He's out to destroy non-believers so that he can send them one day to hell. He's not prejudiced. I'll tell you what, folks, I thought about this. You know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's true. Doesn't mean you're going to have a life free of problems. We know that. But I'll tell you what, God's plan for your life is the best plan. It is the best. It's abundant. It might have problems, and there might even be more problems. But I'll tell you what, it's the best life. And God loves us and has a wonderful plan. And you know what? Satan hates us. And he wants to destroy us. He has a plan for your life too. And he wants to destroy us. He is the commander of this bottomless pit. Now I want to show you something. If we could have the next slide. I just couldn't read this without comparing the bottomless pit to a place the Bible does call hell. And this just hit me. Number one, the bottomless pit, it's a literal place. It is a literal place. And hell is a literal place. Our same Bible, thank God for his Bible. But the same Bible that tells us that heaven is a literal place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again. There's a place called heaven. But the same Bible that tells us about heaven tells us about a place called hell. It's a literal place. Jesus spoke of it as a place. The one who is the embodiment of love, Jesus Christ, spoke more of the place called hell than he did of the place called heaven. It is a place. Secondly, the bottomless pit is a place of fire and smoke and brimstone. And you know what, folks? According to the Bible, hell is a place of fire and smoke and brimstone. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ would talk of hell, when he was around the city of Jerusalem, he'd say, do you want to know what hell's like? And then he'd point. He said, I got the perfect example. And he'd point to the valley of Hinnom, to Gehenna, which was a burning garbage dump. It was the place in the Old Testament where the people of God would sacrifice babies to the god Moloch. And they desecrated that place and made it a garbage dump. And there was always smoke going up from Gehenna. There was always a burning of garbage and decay and defilement and worms. And he said, you want to know what hell's like? There it is. It's a place of burning. But Pastor, you believe that it's really fire? Folks, I believe it's really fire. Well, if it's really fire, then how can a body not be just destroyed and incinerated? Because we will receive, and even the unregenerated dead will receive a resurrection body. Listen to what Robert Gromacki says from Cedarville College. He says, how can a human body live in a sea of fire without being consumed in a few minutes? The natural bodies we now inhabit could not survive. But remember, the unsaved are going to receive new bodies. They will not be glorified bodies fashioned after the likeness of Jesus Christ, but they will be of such composition that they will be able to endure forever the fiery torments without being destroyed. God preserved three Hebrew children in the midst of Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. An intermediate body of the rich man did not perish in the torments of Hades. So it will be in the lake of fire. God will match the fire with the resurrection body of the unsaved. It's a place of fire and of smoke and of brimstone. Thirdly, the bottomless pit was made for demons and Satan. Isn't this something, folks? Because God never prepared hell for people. He doesn't want people to go to hell. His desire is that none should perish and for everyone to come up to heaven to have a party with him. And he created hell not for people, for the demons and Satan. It says in Matthew 25:41, one day Jesus will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the lake of fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Not for people. People will go to hell, but that's not God's desire. He didn't create hell for people. He created hell for the demons. Just like this place was not created for people. The bottomless pit wasn't created for the demons. And one day Satan will be in the bottomless pit, but not people. But hell was not created for people either, but for Satan and his angels. And then fourthly, the bottomless pit is a place of torment. And Jesus says hell is a place of torment. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. John Bunyan, famous Christian writer, wrote a piece called The Sigh from Hell. He wrote, they will cry to think that they had been cut off from the Lord, land of the living, never again to have a foothold therein. They will cry to think that the gospel of Christ should be so often proffered to them, and yet they did not profit by it. They will cry to think that now, that they should never so willingly repent and be saved, that they are past the point of recovery. They will cry to think that they should be so foolish as to be followers of their pleasures when others were following Christ. They will cry to think that they must be separated from God, Christ, and the kingdom of heaven, and that forever. They will cry to think that their crying will do them no good. They will cry to think that in the day of judgment they must stand at the left hand of Christ among the innumerable company of the damned ones. They will cry to think that Lazarus, whom they had once slighted, must be of them that must sit down with Christ and judge together with Christ must pass the sentence of condemnation on their souls forever and ever. They will cry to think that when the judgment is over and others are taken into everlasting kingdom of glory, then they must depart back again into the dungeon of darkness. There they shall be tormented so long as eternity lasts without the least intermission or ease. They will cry. Jesus said that hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place, a literal place, a place of fire, a place of demons and Satan, and it's a place of torment. But folks, there's one big difference between the bottomless pit and hell. One big difference. The bottomless pit is a temporary place. See, these demons were down in hell. They're let out. Satan will one day, during the millennium, be cast down to hell with his demons. And after 1,000 years, they'll be let out, Revelation 20, for a little season. But you know what, folks? There's no get out of hell free cards. And just like the days of the tribulation, when people want to commit suicide and can't, there's no suicide in hell. They'll want to die, they can't. And you know what, folks? There's one thing in this room right here, that people will never see in hell. You know what that is? That. There's no exit signs in hell. There's no way. That's why John Bunyan in Paradise Lost, he said, once you enter this gate, you've lost all hope in hell. What a sobering thought. But I am so thankful. I don't want to leave on just a heavy note. Aren't you so thankful here today that Jesus Christ upon the cross, you know what he did, folks? He took our hell. Though we don't have to go to this place. Can you rejoice in that? He took our hell. Christ died for our sins. On the cross, the wrath of God fell on the Son of God. That we might, God doesn't want you or me or anyone else to go to hell. And he did everything to keep us out of there through Jesus. And you know what? There are 600 warnings about judgment to come. 600 in the Bible. Can you imagine going down a street? You're driving down a street and 600 signs say the bridge is out. And you just keep on driving down and you go over the edge. And somebody says, why didn't somebody tell me? God did. 600 times, 600 signs. Because he doesn't want people to go to hell. I'm going to end with this. But a week and a half ago, we had our parking lot done. Trustees did a great job of resurfacing our parking lot. I think it was that Friday. Two young men were out in the parking lot. And you remember what the temperature was like that week? It was hot. It was up in the 90s. And they're out there on that black asphalt, sealing the parking lot and striping the parking lot. And I went out and I took some pop out to them. And they were so thankful for that pop and that ice. And they said, man, it's hot out here. And the one looked at me and he said, you know, I don't know if it's doing this out on blacktop is hotter or if it's hotter roofing. He said, I was a roofer down in Florida. I said, man, it gets hot. He said, I don't know. He said, this is hot. But roofing, I think it's a little bit hotter. And I said, you know what? This is hot out here. And roofing, I've done it. I've worked in roofing with my father-in-law for a summer. And it's hot on a roof. But guys, there's a place that's much hotter than this that you two don't want to ever go to. Do you know what that place is? And they looked at me and they said, yeah. And I said, do you know what God did for you that you don't have to go to that place? No. He sent his only son to die on a cross that whosoever believeth in him should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's what he did for us. Now, I have to just say here, I don't know who's here. I don't know if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you what, Christ does not want you to go to hell. If you are willing to confess your sins and turn from them with his help and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You will be saved. And as we sing this last hymn, if you want to be saved, if you want to avoid hell and live for Christ, I want you to come forward. I also want you to come forward. Some of you, God's speaking to, you have relatives, friends, neighbors that need Christ, and you don't want them to go to hell. I want you to bring them to the altar today so that we can light this candle again next week. Could you stand? And we're going to go to number 3. I think it's 342.
Yes.
Number 342. And I'm going to ask you to come today.